ahead and remain standing. I want us to give a prayer of celebration. It's been a week of God's Spirit moving in this church. And I want to pray today. I want to thank God for a few people. Some of them are here with us. And that is the men and the women that have been in our armed services. And the men and women that are in our armed services. And I want to remind you, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ today, our nation is at war. If you do get HBO, I'm not recommending that you have HBO, but since a lot of you do, you need to watch the special, Baghdad ER, so that you might be reminded that the same age men and women that just walked the graduation line yesterday are losing their limbs, are sacrificing their bodies in a cause to keep freedom alive. Sometimes we in America, when we live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we get to shop at Walmart, and we get to go to graduation, and all is well in our backyard, fenced in as it is, we forget that there are men and women, just like many men and women in this church. There are over 30 young men and women from this congregation that right now are stationed in the Baghdad desert. And we need to not forget to remember them in our prayers constantly. I personally do not like war. I do not think it's been a good idea over human history. But there are times that we end up in war. And when we end up in those times, we must support our soldiers and we must pray for peace. I pray for their safe return and I pray that it is soon. What about you? I pray that the President of the United States will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, the generals and the military, that we might come to a more diplomatic solution or a quicker solution to abort those who want to practice evil. Let's remember, we stand up today in America because people like my grandfather stood up in World War I. We stand up today in this congregation because people like Dr. Earl Wasson stood up in World War II. We stand up today because people stood up in the Korean War, in the Vietnam War, in Desert Storm, in Desert Shield, and now against the conflict against terrorism. So don't think that you got any of this for free. Don't think that your life is independent and it's only by your choices. Somebody else stood up so that you might celebrate life. And I say in the name of Jesus, it is time in this moment of history for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up so the world can celebrate its history. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your peace, for your grace, for your reality that is beyond our understanding, more than not. And so, Lord, I pray this morning you remind us that we can live like we're dying because we've already died to sin. We have been risen to a new purpose, to new meanings. Lord, we have transformed from the temporary to the eternal, from the natural to the supernatural, from the limited to the unlimited, from the impossible to the possible. And Lord, I pray that this morning on a Memorial Day weekend that launches this summer, that it will not just be a launch to warm weather, but it'll be a reminder of new life. It will never be the same again in this church. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Y'all have been so great. Didn't David Tooley do a marvelous job illustrating that full and abundant life on that video? And did you notice? We're all a part of that. We're all a part of that. When I first heard that song, I was going down I-65, and I was right in the middle of what they call Death Valley, and I was probably not obeying the laws of the Commonwealth. Close your ears there, trooper friends here today. And I heard that song, and the line that caught me, Doc, was, wait a minute.
You know how easy it is to happen to go to the doctor and all of a sudden they go, whoops. I don't like it when doctors come in and they got that quiet look on their face. They all get the same look, too. If you know what I'm saying? They must learn that in medical school. They go, well, and they pause. I hate a pausing doctor. I want a talking doctor. You notice? They pause when it's bad. They talk when it's all right. And they'll go like, well, tell me! This is not good. Now, I want you to know, every one of us have the possibility of that happening. Amen? Now, let me tell you something you got to do if you're going to live. You've got to quit being ridden by fear. You see, one of the problems of the church today is there's a spirit of fear, in my opinion, and this is after studying for a long time and living for a little bit now. There's a spirit of fear that is over the American church that keeps her from being what God has created her to be. We're fearful of really letting grace loose. We're fearful of really letting the Holy Spirit dance. We're fearful of this. We might become something we can't control. And that's absolutely what God wants to happen. Is for us to have a life that we can't what? Then who's in control? God. So I want you to remember. Every one of you important. How many of you can remember that? And how many of you got somebody in your life, you know there was somebody in your life that has helped you get to this point? Occasionally, I'll get teary-eyed. I got to speak to several groups of teachers this week, and I love teachers, and you all know I'm definitely a pro supporter of public education. And if you disagree with me, that's okay. You're wrong. And we're a grace-giving church here, and I give you the freedom to be wrong. For those of you that think you just want to have private education, here's what you're saying to the world. You're saying, I want to live in a two-class society. In every country, go examine this. You know, you need to have some intellectual prowess about you every once in a while. Go examine this before you pop open your mouth. Countries that have only a private sector of education have a two-class society. So here's what you're wanting to say. You're wanting to say, I want to be a part of designing the middle class out of America. I want to be a part of only having the have and the have-nots. And I think one of the greatest things in our nation is this. Everybody's got a shot. Now, not everybody's going to take their shot, but everybody's got a shot. I still believe that, don't you? Now, I know we still got a lot of people whining and saying, well, I don't have the same shot as so-and-so. Well, I'm not talking about the degree of shot you got. I'm talking about you got a shot. And guess what gives you that shot? Public education. Did you know if you come from poverty and you're real smart and you do real well, they'll give you a scholarship to go to college even when you can't afford it. Now, how many countries does that happen in? We'll give you a shot. Guess what? If it's only the haves and the have-nots, then you're going to keep having a smaller group of, guess what, haves, and the have-nots will keep on growing. But God said, I wanted everybody to have a shot. And when I look at grace, guess what Jesus said? He got up on a cross and guess what he said? Everybody gets a shot at grace. Everybody gets a possibility of a new life. So I want us to remember today, none of us got here by ourselves. How many of you are going to remember that? I was at a graduation last night, and I looked down, and there was this teacher, and she taught me biology, or attempted. She taught, and I attempted to receive. Man, she must have been at Warren Central for 100 years. And she was over there shaking hands, and I watched this lady because she's like, she just embodies science. I mean, that's her whole life. Her whole life is science. And in fact, my wife looked and said, have you ever had my son in class? And she said, oh, no, but I heard your daughter won the science fair. I mean, she's not even there in high school yet, but she just is immersed in what? Science. But I looked at her and I thought for a second, how many lives has she made a difference in over the past 25 years? Teachers, thank you for teaching. I thank you for all of you of what you do. Dave, I think you're out there in a plant being a Christian witness to a whole bunch of people that sometimes get disgruntled about working. You know what I mean? But there's somebody there doing what? Making a difference. Tyler, you're a graduate now. I can't believe it. It seems just like last summer we were throwing baseballs in Pee Wee League. But you graduate and you've been given much. And now guess what you got to go? You got to go give. Miss Janice, one fixing to come out of college. How fast does life go? Doc, you're married and got kids. It's like I just baptized you last week. Huh? Life moves on, doesn't it, Steve? But you know what? Here's what God's calling us to do. Move with life. Move with life. Ooze with life. Celebrate life. Live. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, on the third day, she was risen, and here's the good news. Nobody can put her down. Nobody can counsel her out. Nobody can get rid of the influence of the church. I'm so proud of some of our schools. Thank you for saying a prayer. Bring on the ACLU. Some of them need to be smacked with the love of God. You know the only reason there's a controversy? Because we never stood up. We never stood up. We've never stood up. We're always whining. And I'm going to ask you to do something today on this Memorial Day weekend. Cut the whining. I am so tired of the Christian Whine Committee. Telling the world everything it's done wrong and never stepping in to help the world become right. I think it is a chump faith to walk around and point out what's wrong and never be involved in making something right. Now that's just my opinion. Chump. You sound like all these non-athletes that walk on a field and try to dog out all the real athletes. You know why people dog people that can make it happen? Because they know deep down inside they won't. But the church is about making it happen. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Jesus made it happen. I want to remember Him today. Amen? On this Memorial Day weekend, I want to go to the root of everything that puts my life together. I remember my grandparents. I remember aunts and uncles and teachers. And there's a whole lot of people in my life that have gone on. How many of y'all got some folk that have just gone on? But man, they put something inside of you. And I want you to know that you all are putting things inside of other people, whether you're aware of it or not. And we got to embrace that. Pray today, too, because a lot of our people are out today. Where are they? We got a lot of young couples in this church. They've gone to be with their what? Moms and dads all over the United States. How many of y'all remember your mom and dad? How many of them did something that caused you to be a little different? Amen. Moms and dads, you're important. Remember that. Remember that. If you're still doing the mom and dad thing and you're like active, I call it, there's active mom and dad experience. That's from birth to 18. And then there's the rest of the time you get to see how you did. Huh? Did they get it? And here's the best we can do. They got some of it. Amen? But I want you to get Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is the root foundation of what we need to remember? If you remember Jesus, you're going to remember everything because He's everything. Now look at here. He goes on. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Note, remember, the sacrifice is never too great if it brings life. What did Jesus do? He died. He suffered in His what? Body. And here's what He's telling this community of faith. He says, listen, if it gets tough, don't cower back because it's worth dying for. How many of y'all realize we got a faith worth dying for? Because now check this out. If you die, you what? You're awful quiet on that. I think that may be why we're cowered down. I want y'all to really grab a hold of this. If we die, what actually happens? How many of y'all are convinced of that? You really get convinced of that, you'll go crazy. You'll be a totally different person. Who can get you if when you're going to die, you're going to live? Dr. Benningsworth, you get me in the ER, guess what? If there's parts missing, you have my permission. Let me go, will you? I don't want to limp. I want to live. And guess what? If I looked up at you, guess what I have to say? I'll see you later. Because I'm convinced when my body's gone, my spirit goes on with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now follow this line of thought. If your spirit is going on now, the spirit of Christ that is in you is going to go on in others. That's what you need to leave behind. How many of y'all, I even have it sketched down, probably on a napkin. That's some of the academic paper I use. And on a napkin, I sketch down things I want to leave behind in my life that come from Jesus Christ. How many of us want to leave the love of Christ? Well, guess what? Sometimes you got to sacrifice with that. Huh? You got to sacrifice to love. How many of y'all found you got to sacrifice to love? Any of y'all raised kids? Did they not get in the way of your schedule or what? And they never stop. I thought to myself, well, man, I got one drive and it's going to get better. You know, may get a little time, you know, to rekindle some moments. It's worse. They come in unannounced. Now they have wheels. Merle told me this was happening. I didn't believe him. I thought, Merle, that's not right. And he goes, you wait, it's going to get worse. I said, Merle, why are you always walking around like... I said, I'm going to start calling you Amos. You always got some gloom and doom prophecy. He said, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. And guess what?
It does.
It does. Watch this. Tim's been a mentor of mine. His boys were 4 years older than mine. So guess what I've watched? I've watched he and Lisa. Guess what? They have placed things in my life that have helped me raise my children. See, we're all in this together. How many of y'all get this? Remember life. Remember to live. How many of y'all have gotten so busy you forgot to live? How many of y'all's Palm Pilot, blueberry, blackberry, strawberry, whatever you carry in your pocket? Some of y'all are running NASA out of your lapel. How many of you, it's crammed full of events that bring no life? Check it sometime. If what I'm doing is bringing life, be a part of it. Look what he said. He said, arm yourselves with the same attitude of Christ. When you suffer with it, you'll know it. You got to struggle. How many of y'all struggle a little bit? Let me help you. Grace is a struggle. I've spent my whole life, after really understanding who Jesus Christ was, I'm a grace struggler. That's why some of you get me. You know, I frustrate the dickens out of the rest of you. Especially when you come in my office and you want one of those easy fill-in-the-blank answers. I don't have any. You know, I'm glad Dr. Warren started fill-in-the-blank, but I kind of agree with my friend George Gallup. George Gallup said, if fill-in-the-blank worked, you'd do it with your kids all the time. Knowing the answer is not becoming the answer. Becoming the answer is a part of the struggle. Church, we got to embrace and we got to live. And we don't live like we're dying. We need to live like we've died. Died to sin and risen to a new way of living. Look what he says. He says, now note. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. What in the world are we supposed to do as Christ followers? Show the will of what? God. What does God say to people that are just broken and busted and just make stupid decisions? He says, I love you, and I want you to get better, and I want you to be everything that I've designed you to be. How many of you realize that's really grace, getting back to the original design? That's really what grace does. It puts us back to like we were put together originally. Guess what? God wanted to be with us. How many of y'all understand that? God wanted to be with us. It's evident. Go to the Garden of Eden. Where was God? He wasn't in Deep Space Nine. Where was he? Walking in the garden. God taking evening strolls in the garden with humanity. Hey, Adam, what's up today? Oh, God, just having a good time. All the fish bite. Didn't have to mow the yard. Jack, that's heaven to you, isn't it? You could actually catch a fish and never have to mow. What do you think, Jack? Maybe even Keith could catch a fish in heaven, you know? I mean, gosh, the Garden of Eden is moving. It's moving. God is with us, and then what happens? We choose to be God. That's what happens at the tree. And when we choose to be God, we bring in corruption and things that won't bring life. Watch this. I won't naturally bring life. How many of y'all found that in your decision making? There's three things I want to warn you again if you don't want to be married. Not married. Well, this will kill your marriage too. But if you want to be remembered for a short amount of time, just be involved in these three things. Always try to do it your way. Always try to get the power, and always try to be spectacular, and you'll never be remembered. And guess what they'll say at your funeral? Glad that's over. I go to some funerals and people are rejoicing. I mean, they don't do it out loud because that'd be tacky in the South. Up north, they just tell you, it's gone. Let's go. Now, I want to ask you a very important question. When you're gone, what'll be left? When you're gone, what'll be left? You see, if you've shared your life in shared life with others, there'll be a lot of things left. But if you've been just about you, when they close the lid on the box or screw the cap on the jar or spread the ashes over the water, however you're going to, you know, celebrate the exit, that'll be it. Because you left nothing. Church, I want to tell you, you ought to be a giving people. Give life to what's around you. People like Ms. Oki, they give naturally. You can't get a haircut around Ms. Oki without getting saved. You're going to get your wig trimmed and your heart changed. And you know what? She's not worried about the ACLU coming into her business telling her that she can't say anything about Jesus. She'll put a kung fu chop on them suckers. They come down here and mess with her. I love Oki. I wish I had Oki's kind of faith. South Korean kind of faith. A faith that was born out of persecution and opposition. A faith where people said it couldn't be and it was. Ms. Oki will bring people that have been saved to the altar, and she doesn't go, "Pastor, we need to check and see how sensitive they are to baptism." She brings them up by the nap of the neck with love, like a mother cat. She brings them, "This is a new child of God." She'll go, "Pastor Steve, they need water baptism. They need it now." I love that. She says, "This is the most important thing that can happen in the human experience, and it needs to go on now. Not 3 weeks from now, not 10 years from now. When? Now." Dr. Jerry, maybe that's why there's a church in Seoul, Korea that has 1.5 million members. And it started with 4. It's a Korea. And guess what? This brother didn't build his church on offerings. He didn't build his church on a super seeker sensitive moment. He didn't make sure all the people were comfortable, because it's just hard. They do 10 services a Sunday, and you got to stand in line 4 hours just to get into the worship center. I know y'all have had to do similar things. That's cool. I'm with you. Now, did that make you feel good? You're not alone. Because you know what? There's a group of people that said Jesus is everything. And I want to remind you that on this Memorial Day weekend, Jesus has got to be everything. So that's why our lives change. Look what he said here to these people. He said, look, now, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Release the will of God to others. For you've spent enough time doing what the pagans chose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable adultery. How many of y'all have seen any of that this week? How many of y'all live in a nation that's just filled with this stuff? Now listen, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sit here and go over every one of those sins, because what? Guess what? Here's what we're expert in America. We know sin. We don't know how to live through it. We know it's not good. Well, look, any of this stuff. Now, let me tell you what the problem with it is. Let's look at it. Debauchery. Any of y'all ever said debauchery? That's just seeing how loosey-goosey we can be without getting in trouble. Y'all seen some of the outfits that are out there today? Debauchery. How much can we show without getting arrested? And let me tell you what. There's a whole lot of it ain't worth seeing. That's what bothers me. A lot of people or under an illusion, or smoking good dope. One of the two. Is that plain enough? But that's not how we live. This is the way who lives? Pagans. Those who are yet, watch, here's what a pagan is. Those who are not aware of what God can do. See, I believe you can be a pagan and go to church. What do you think? I believe you can be a pagan and go to church. You sit in church just like Chase Goff told us, the future Reverend Chase Goff there one day, be Reverend preacher. Chase said that you can come to a place of healing and never be healed. Well, you know what? I think you can come to a place of a new life and never be aware of what that new life can do. You just sit in church and go, oh, that's right, that's a good idea. No! This is the reality of living. Did the Holy Spirit say to this community in the writings of this true scripture, did it say, oh, and by the way, I suggest you need to kind of get a new life? Or did it say, you will live differently? Now, no. And it also says this. None of us come from a perfect picture. the scripture. He said, now, you used to be involved in... How many of y'all have been involved in some of these things? Debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgy. Now, I won't get any amens on that one, I know. Huh? I'm from the South. Everybody goes, you don't need to be drinking, running around, that kind of stuff. Now, that'll send you to hell. What about this one? Idolatry. Not adultery, idolatry. You have to be careful how you preach this in the South. It gets your A's and I's mixed up, and people will be all kind of confusion. Adultery. How many of y'all have worshipped other things other than God? Here's what adultery is. It's simply this. Expecting some object to bring me what only Jesus can. My wife, as much as I love her, guess what? She can never bring me what Jesus can. And I can never bring her what Jesus can. My son, pretty good guy on his way. But guess what? He can never bring me what? What Jesus can. And as he's now becoming an adult, I've had to look at him and I'm like, and say, Blake, I can't tell you that one. That's between you and Jesus. You're going to have to go get down on your knees and you're going to have to struggle. And you're going to have to decide what God tells you. He looks at me. He said, be too long. You'll be 18 and I'm not going to tell you anything. Not going to pay as much either. Yeah, I'll get stuck. I'll get conned. So my children have been, they've grown up to be, guess what? Their mothers taught them how to manipulate me over the past year. Look at here. For you spent enough time doing what the pagans have done. How many of y'all have just spent enough time doing what won't work? It's kind of the song, isn't it? He said after this guy in this song realized his life was limited, he started taking a good look at what he'd invested in. I bet his Friday nights changed. What do you think? His reading material changed. He wanted to read about where he was going. In fact, after I heard that song, I thought about that. I said, you know what the Bible really is? It's a big brochure allowing me to know what heaven's like. How many of y'all, before you go on a trip, some of you this summer, be going on vacations, you read the brochure? How many of you always found this? The place is never as good as the brochure. Isn't that the truth? You know, they'll show you this special hotel room and you walk in and we got one of those on 31W. And, you know, but on the brochure, it looks what? Guess what? I got some great news in following Jesus Christ. Where we're heading is better than the brochure. It is so beautiful. It is so unreal. It is so full on life, Chuck. And guess what? Really, the words that we read in our language are not sufficient enough to declare the glory of the God that is involved in our lives. That's how deep it is. That's how marvelous it is. God, that's how amazing it is. What do you think, Anil? It's amazing. Did y'all notice, Anil, the songs that we sang today would be like from southern India. They took off all those banjos stuff, and Neil's sitting there looking, where did they get this? You know, look at here. Let me finish up. Y'all getting this today? Can I thank you all for making a difference? I look at every one of you today. Guess what? Y'all all make a difference. You all make a difference. That's what's so beautiful about your lives. You make a difference. Just don't be tangled up in things that don't bring life. Watch this. You'll never get drunk enough to get well. You'll never have enough sex to get better. You'll never carouse around enough to find the energy of life. It's in Jesus. And they think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dispensation. And they heap abuse on you. How many of y'all have been criticized for not doing what they do? Listen. There's a God calling you to live. And He wants you to stay out of things that kill you because He's called you to live. And those things won't bring life. You got that, Jordan? You'll be doing business one day, and guess what they'll want you to do? Things that don't bring life. And you'll have to tell them, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm sorry, ladies. I only do things that bring life, and this doesn't bring life. And they said, well, we'll fire you. So they bring it on. See, here's why we have Christians that are manipulated all the time in this culture, because we don't have enough Christians that have enough fortitude to say this, bring it on. Yeah. Bring it on. We have lawyers. There are even Christian lawyers. I'm not saying it's a large population, but there are some. And they follow Christ, and they'll fight for what's right on that side of the voice. To be remembered. To stand in there. To do the right thing. Look. But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Here's what I want you to know. The final judgment is not by us. What do you think? The Supreme Court is not the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is a subcourt to the final judgment. Our laws are mere meager attempts to produce order. Jesus' judgment is final. And you will either be judged living or dead. By the way, there are no dead things in heaven. So you want to be judged living. You say, well, how in the world do I get this judgment? I'll show you in just a second. But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. How many of you realize we will give an account for the way we've lived? Can I just step on this just a minute? It's important in the way you live your life, you will give an account. And I think there's been a false gospel preached that says, I can follow Jesus, live like the pagans, and somehow going to come out all right. I want you to be forewarned. I believe that's a false gospel. I think when you get Jesus, you're going to live differently. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to make a mistake. But let me tell you what, you'll make a mistake, but you will not have a lifestyle full of mistakes. Does that give you a boundary there? Now watch this. If this is your attitude, I see some of you thinking right now, well, how far can I go before... That's the wrong attitude. I have people ask me all the time, they want to know the accredited sin list. You know? Get the attitude of Christ and He'll shape your life. Make sense? The attitude of Christ. And you'll be remembered well. And then look what He says. Note this. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the what? Spirit. Here's why we preach the gospel. It's for those who are dead, so that they might come to what? And what does the gospel say? We've all sinned. How many of y'all have sinned? Good, just checking. How many of y'all have been forgiven of that sin? How many of y'all now live differently because Jesus came into your life? You know, people ask me all the time, well, do you think this Jesus is real? I saw a guy the other day, he said, do you really think this Jesus is real? I said, do you really think I would be a pastor if this wasn't real? Why would I want to be a pastor? What a gross job if this is not real. I'm serious. I wouldn't be a pastor to be a pastor. I mean, I meet some of these guys that want to be a pastor that aren't called. Man, go sell something. It's a lot more fun. And you don't have to fool with people. This is one reason I preach. For this reason. Those who are dead in sin can come to life in Christ. And that old rugged cross is a reality of forgiveness. And that old empty tomb is still empty. And nobody could get Jesus back in there. And death couldn't keep a hold on Jesus. And I've seen too many lives radically changed by Jesus Christ. I've seen people that have been broken get back up and live in a miraculous way. I've seen people healed in the name of Jesus. And I've come to the conclusion, this Jesus must be alive. And He's real. And He wants to get in you. And bring you to life. So you can say, I am dead to sin and alive in Christ. Who sings that song, Keith, that y'all sing? Tim McGraw. So that you can look at Tim McGraw and say, nice song. Not only do I live like I am dying, I live like I am dead. Because I am dead to sin and now alive in Christ. So now I'm going to go skydiving without a parachute. Yeah. I'm going to climb mountains that everybody else said was impossible. I saw it this week. I saw a boy that some said kick him out of school. who obtained an ACT score. It was high enough to get him a full scholarship. And instead of being kicked out, he's walking in with such an intelligence because guess what? One human being showed him possibility. Wow. That's live here in Warren County, not 1 Peter chapter 4. So have you learned something today? Therefore, since Christ has suffered in His body, let us not grow weary in what? Doing good and suffering in ours. Earl and Cindy, thank you guys for 60 plus years of marriage. I bet you had some difficult days. What do you think? You know, y'all been through a few things, you know. Depression. A few wars. Academic moments. And you've kept on smiling. So I'll have to join my friend, my rock and roll friend that reminds me every Memorial Day what Jesus Christ has done. Wet Willie, you remember him, Jeff? Jeff Hayes, you remember Wet Willie? You remember Wet Willie? Y'all not going to sing this, but I remember what he sang. He said, make a difference, because guess what he said? He said, no matter what happens in life, you got to keep on what? Remember that? Mark remembers that. Because you old, Mark. Jordan Carter's graduating and you old. In fact, you an old married man. Your wife's not old, but you old. You got to keep on smiling no matter what life hands you. You got to keep on what? Smiling. And that's what Jesus says today. Church, remember me. Remember those that have gone on with you. And remember, Hebrews 12. You're surrounded by a great cloud of what? Witnesses. Best Jewel is no longer here on earth. That's my grandmama, Southern Mississippi. I got Mississippi roots. And people pray down there. They eat real fried chicken and they pray. I mean, that's Baptist down there, Mississippi. Kentucky's kind of Baptist. Mississippi, Baptist. Georgia, Baptist. Alabama, beyond Baptist. And you know what? You know what? I'm thoroughly convinced that Best Jewel can walk now fully. She can hear fully. So she never could hear, but she played a church organ. Amazes me. She got arthritis real bad, but on Sunday morning she could work the keys. She is 92 years old, and she was never stressed one day in all of her 92 years. I never heard my grandmama coming in going, oh, I need a therapist. I'm just overwhelmed with stress. You know, polio had me the first part of my life. I've been through a depression. I just don't know how to get through. And you know what? I'm going to remember those people. Because you know what? I only heard we're going to make it through them. Then after we grew our hair long, smoked a lot of dope, then we started being stressed out the rest of human history in the 20th century. Huh. Maybe stress is the con job of the devil. Because the Bible said this morning, remember, he who suffers in the body, not he who celebrates in the body, he or she who suffers in the body is dumb with sin. So when it gets a little rough, hear the words of Jesus. You are my child. You are forgiven. Hear the words of Jesus. Go and sin no more. Hear the words of Jesus. Where are they that condemn you? Hear the words of Jesus. Get up. Pick up that mat. And what? Walk. Hear the words of Jesus when he looked up in that roof. Your faith. Your faith. Remember, he had them four boys, and there he is with their crippled friend. Your faith has made him whole. Well, let's stand together. I want you to be remembered. I want you to know Jesus Christ remembers you right now, guys. Right now. You ready? If you've never asked him to come in your life, why don't you do it today? Why don't you do it today? Today. Today. You ready? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, just tell him, Lord Jesus, today I know I need you in my life. Lord, I'm going to ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Hear that word. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross, the greatest memorial of all. And I believe you've risen from the grave. So Lord, come into me. Amen? Come into me. You may have already done that this week. That happens a lot here. Thank God. And you may need to come and you need to be baptized. Guess what baptism is? It is that declaration that I understand what Jesus has done in my life. And I tell you this, baptism's serious. It's a needed deal. It's a loving deal. It's an obedient deal. And here's what I don't get. I don't get people that say they're madly in love with Jesus and won't do the first thing He asks them to do. I don't get that. I don't get that. Be baptized. Declare God's glory in your life. Maybe you need to come today. Maybe some of your family people are service people right now. They're fighting a war in our country. And can we kneel down and ask God's protection? And if you all don't mind, I would really just like to ask God. I've been asking, can this thing just be over? I don't know about y'all, but it curls my blood to see young men. These are the same boys I coached. Getting their legs and arms blown off. Their lives changed forever. And I'm not sure for what. But history and time will tell. But I'm going to support them no matter what. Because they've stood up. And I'm going to stand with them, yeah? And if there's any wrongdoing, guess what I know? It always comes out. And a man's eventually got to stand before his Creator. And that's the final judgment. No politics in front of Jesus. Nobody stands with you. But if you stand in Him, guess what? There are no problems. So why don't you receive Him today? This altar's open. You come and just let God minister to you and bless you. Come and celebrate. Bring your families. How many of y'all glad you got a family? Why don't you come to the altar today with your family and say, God, just thank you for what you're doing in the life of our families. So come now and just let God bless you. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Come on, church. Come on.